Dive into the dynamic world of high school sports. Whether you're a seasoned athletic director, a newcomer to the field, or simply curious to learn more about this exciting profession, this podcast is your go-to resource for inspiration, education, and a deeper understanding of the game-changing decisions that shape the world of high school athletics. Welcome back to AD360. I'm Greg Vandermaid, and of course, I'm joined by my co-host, Scott Rosenberg. Scott, how are we doing today?
Good, man. Happy almost end of the summer here in the Northeast anyway, I guess, at least with school coming back. How about you?
Doing well. You know, I mean, we're back in the full swing of things out here in Utah where I'm at. We are two games in to the regular season now. So it's back in full swing of things for school year time. So with that said, I think that we've got another great episode for everyone today, especially it being kind of a timely episode for us to bring up. Especially for new athletic directors, new season on deck. General communications is going to be the theme for us today, and we're going to cover how to communicate with parents, students, coaches, other athletic directors, everyone that's going to be within your sphere while you're going through the school year. So I'm pretty excited about this one. Scott, are you pretty pumped about this one as well?
Listen, communication, I think, solves 90% of the problems. It's the lack of communication that tends to cause most problems. So if I can help in any way, 100% ready to go.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. Well, with that said, I think we'll just jump right into the conversation. I'll start firing some questions at you, Scott. First one that we got here is going to be in terms of your approach for communication with parents, students, student athletes, coaches, et cetera. What do you look to do at the start of the school year? How do you kind of kick things off with that, each one of those groups, and kind of lay the groundwork for expectations in terms of communications for the year?
Yeah, listen, I think everybody does it differently, but if you go in with the mindset of probably over-communication is what you're looking to do, especially at the beginning of the season, maybe you can like scale back a little at times, but certainly at the beginning, if you think about making sure that you're literally over-communicating, that's the approach you should take. So that could mean those preseason meetings with parents that we've talked about, with student athletes, a kickoff barbecue, something fun like that. Obviously, your individual meetings with your coaches, your coaching staff, everybody involved in athletics in the school becomes important too. And I'm just also this like huge believer in positive communication early, no matter what. And I would say the same thing, maybe I've said it on here, to every teacher. I always felt like if you're a teacher and you find a way to reach out to parents when good things happen regarding their kids, that if you need to make a tougher call later, it's a heck of a lot easier. You've built up some credibility by saying, hey, listen, I saw your kid do this well. I saw your kid treat another kid well in the hallway. I saw your kid like going at it real hard and extra effort in practice. Think about that as from a parent perspective, to just get an email or a call that says, hey, like I noticed something good that was going on or something positive. And then if later on you need to make a tougher call, it makes that a ton easier.
I think that that's a great approach to it. I mean, first of all, I'm right there with you with the over-communication piece, right? I feel especially as athletic directors, you can't get your message out enough. Because I think that you and I have probably both been there before where we just know certain emails are not getting read. You know, certain correspondences are just being ignored, and you need to make sure that you're placing it in multiple channels. You know, whether you're utilizing the school website, email blasts, team meetings, parent meetings, et cetera. Like, you've got to make sure that that messaging's out there. And I really like the approach of having open lines of communication, and it's not just when it's bad. You know, you're reaching out and you're doing encouraging contacts where it's like, hey, I saw your daughter or son do X, Y, and Z today that was phenomenal. I just wanted to drop you a quick note to say how much that means to us. And it really develops that rapport, right? So that way, to your point, when you have to have a difficult conversation, you've already got a relationship built, and it's a little bit easier to navigate tough conversations when you already have a little knowledge of the lay of the land and the personality types that you're dealing with, right?
Absolutely. And listen, you have to know your community too. As much as we talk about using technology to communicate, whether it's email or text or these different tools that you can use to communicate, what about the rest of the community? Let's say, what about the senior citizens in the community? right? How do we get the word out that something's going, that the game is happening? How do we get the word out that somebody's using digital ticketing, or that, hey, if they want to watch something, they can do it online with the right tools, and making sure you find ways to communicate with all the different groups in town. So that might be visiting the Senior Citizen Center. That might be a liaison with somebody from the Senior Citizen group to like help you communicate this out. Because I can remember times when we had people in our community who were like, I didn't know. You should have sent me a regular letter home. You should have sent this in the mail. Like those older school, listen, I got the brim on the hat. I don't know what age you go from the brim on the hat to like the straight, but you know, there's a different population out there that also maybe wants to stay involved. So you've got to find ways to meet people where they are and not just the way that you're used to communicating. So I think all those things are really important.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more on that front.
All right, let's go. Let's move on to this one. What strategies do you find effective in building trust with parents and that community that I just mentioned?
You know, I like the community piece, and trust is a big thing when you're an athletic director, because if you don't have the trust of your coaches, student athletes, and then the entire campus community, it's going to be an uphill battle. So there's a lot of different ways in which you kind of have to approach this, because each group is going to have different interactions with you. I think that there's a high level of importance of being able to involve the parents right out the gate. You do that in the beginning with your preseason meetings. I think that a way in which you develop trust with parents, student athletes, and the community is consistency. You have to be the same AD day in and day out. You can't waver on how you address. No situation is ever going to be identical, but there's going to be a lot of similarities. And if you handle one scenario a certain way, and then you're coming and you're with more of an iron fist and the second version of it, you're going to erode your trust and people aren't going to believe in what you're doing. So I think the way that you really started off with is obviously having those meetings with parents and student athletes at the start of the year to lay out the groundwork of what the expectations are, not only for how the student athletes are going to behave in their participation, the expectations that are set for them, but also for the parents and how they're going to interact, not only with fellow parents, coaches, their demeanor and how they represent themselves at games. Like, you need to make sure that that's laid out in the beginning and that you're consistent in the execution of those expectations. So if there is some type of repercussion for faulty behavior, you got to have that same consistency across the board. I guess you could look at that as like setting expectations and ensuring that everybody knows what type of policies and behaviors are going to be expected and be the standards. I think that your point earlier, regular communication is really important. Newsletters are huge. Getting information on your website is going to be massive, especially for the community that's outside of that immediate sport program. You want to make sure that there's plenty of information for them to be able to get. Social media is a huge one. And then I do like your point when it comes to, you know, different demographics engaging in different methods, right? You can't always just put something online and assume that it's going to get there. Develop a relationship with the local sports writer. You know, if there's going to be some type of event where you want to drum up some interest from the local community, get that information out there so people can consume it in the channels that they're going to be able to get it from. And then also, I looked at it as an open door policy, but you've got to be somewhat strategic with that because parents will take advantage of that, right? So if we're looking at it from a communication standpoint and we're having some type of player coach issue, you've got to early on kind of set the standard of here's the hierarchy of how communication is going to take place. Like, and I felt that that really helped to build trust, not only within the athletic director department and office, but also with the student athletes to the coach and the coaches and the parents. Because the way that I always handled it was like in the beginning of the year, I let every single parent know at those start of the year meetings, if there's an issue that's arising, first and foremost, I will never discuss playing time with you at all. But I want the channels of communication to be student athlete has a conversation with coach first. We reach an impasse. Coach needs to set up a conversation with student athlete and the parent. We're still in an impasse. We need to come into the athletic director's office. We need to collectively, all of us, sit down and kind of talk through it. And I think that those are ways that you just really kind of establish the trust. But the consistency piece is key. You have to be the same athletic director day in and day out and basically enforcing those policies, procedures, and expectations the same across all programs, right?
You said a lot right there, and it all made sense for me to just kind of track back. One, chain of command, critically important. Everything you said, right? Like, kids should talk to coaches. It's a great skill for kids to learn. Sometimes it's not comfortable, but you should have kids discussing with the coaches if they have an issue or if they have questions. And then clearly there's, you know, moving up the chain of command in different levels. And you should be consistent with that for sure. Open door policy. That's a great one. I mean, I had a principal one time who had an open door policy whose door was always closed. So like you gotta live it, right? If you're preaching it, you actually have that open door. But I also think, like you said, maybe it's the 24-hour rule. Maybe it's like there's got to be some things. It's the chain of command. There's got to be some things that where you draw that line. And again, be consistent with people. In terms of like things for, say, parents and fans, I'm familiar with a lot of leagues that put out rules for behavior or state associations that put out rules for behavior for fans. And I love having like banners made or signs. And so that, listen, let's be clear. Nobody's walking in and studying if you have a banner up somewhere, all the rules or expectations. But I think as an AD or a site manager, if you run into some of those problems, it's nice to be able to point to those things and say, hey, listen, like these are the state rules. These are the conference rules for behavior, especially if it's an away fan. That's even easier. But it and then of course maybe you have some school rules too. You didn't bring like no glasses, you know, into the building. It's good. You have to have a clear case if you're bringing something in. But in general, having those is like, listen, it's not even me. Like I'm just enforcing the rules of this group or this or that. Sometimes that can be helpful. Overall, everything you said, though, I do believe in tremendously.
So shifting gears a little bit, what advice do you have for addressing, you know, parental concerns, complaints? We all have those parents that come up to us, and there's always going to be an issue within the program. But you can't just turn away from it. You can't shy away from it. You're going to have to address them. How do you address those in a constructive manner?
Well, listen, you mentioned chain of command. So I think like enforcing that. I'm also a huge believer that sometimes people just want to be heard, Greg. Like they just need to get it out. So sometimes you have to eat it. Like if you're going to go into that conversation with a parent who's clearly upset, it's emotional. It's their kid. Their kid's the most important to them. You have to understand that. And so you have to sometimes just let people speak. Sometimes people don't have the ability to do that even in their own homes, but they want to come into your office and they want to be heard. So like, I think that's important to open your door, like you said, and to at least listen to a concern, especially if they're following that chain of command. And then I love putting it back on them. I'll say it to you this way. Greg, you want your kid to play more. You want this, like, you know, like in the end, what is the outcome that you want? Like, let's start with what is that outcome? Because we got to work backwards from that. I've had times when a parent comes in and wants to complain about a coach, but I'm not allowed to tell the coach, right? Because what their fear, they would fear, let's say, repercussions for their kid. And I would say, listen, I don't have to say your kid's name, but if you want me to address it with the kid, with the coach, I mean, then I have to bring it up. Well, they'll know it's me. All right, but you're in here telling me. So again, like that whole thing of what is your desired outcome for this? You want to complain about playing time. All right, well, if I'm going to go talk to the coach, which I really didn't do very often, about your kid's playing time, and I don't know, if you perceive they play less, you're going to come back to me and say, it's because I came in to the office and had a discussion and complained. Or if they play more, are you going to go and tell all your friends that your kid got more playing time because you talked to Mr. Rosenberg when you came in, the athletic director, when you came in? And then all of a sudden I've got people knocking at my door all the time. So like, it, I guess from an AD perspective, this is just part of the job. You have to know this is not necessarily easy. You have to be prepared for difficult conversations. You have to be honest. And like, that's key too. Maybe people don't think they want to hear the truth, but in the end, I still believe that they'll appreciate it more than if you're lying to them or appeasing them.
I agree with you. I mean, there's a big part of the job that really goes kind of unnoticed by the outside is conflict management, because you're constantly dealing with conflict management, whether that's coach to coach, you know, fighting over venues and facilities, or parents that are upset, and your example, you know, whether it's playing time or they're upset with the way that the coach is handling something. I like the fact that you sit there and say, sometimes you just got to let them vent. You know, you've just got to let them get it out. They want to be heard. Allow them to be heard. That doesn't mean that you're turning into a yes person and you're just appeasing every single concern that they have. Listen to them, hear them out. I like the reverse engineering of it, if you will. You know, what's the outcome that you're looking for? Let's talk through how this could potentially work out. And a lot of times they may start kind of talking about it themselves and realizing like, oh yeah, this probably isn't going to work out the way that I think it's going to, or it's not going to be beneficial, or my son or daughter isn't really ready to play yet. You know what I mean? Like, they start thinking through it a little bit more as you're listening to them, but you're not going into it combative. You know, you're being an active listener. You're trying to understand where they're coming from. And ultimately it's going to benefit your program because you're hearing some of the concerns. There's always going to be the squeaky wheels that are going to have the same concerns over and over again, and no one else is worried about it. It's just their point of view. It doesn't mean that it necessarily has to be addressed, but it needs to be heard. And that's where you can also, it goes back to developing that trust too, because they know that they can come to you with their concerns. They can entrust you with it, and they have faith that you are going to act in the best manner for the program itself. So I like that. I think that's a great approach to it.
Tough job. It's a tough job. And parents with being emotional when it comes to their own kids is some of the toughest stuff. And there's really no sugarcoating that. Just do your best.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Another like thing that near and dear to my heart and I think is so important is involving your student athletes in decision making when possible, in the communication of everything that's going on. Talk to me about how you think it's best to communicate with your student athletes. What kind of communication do you see being important as well?
You know, I think there's a couple different ways that you can go about this. I think one, from like a structured communication process, I'm a big fan of like student athlete advisory committees, captain's corners, whatever you want to phrase it. I think that that's great to get some of your student athlete leaders within that campus community to come in. Maybe you're having lunch with them and you're sitting down, you're breaking bread with them once a month or once every couple of weeks, however you want to structure it. But you can hear their voices of what their concerns are, not only just related to their sport, maybe it's concerns related to their facilities or, you know, shared spaces or programs that they all interact with. It gives you a great pulse of not only what's happening within your athletic department, but also what's happening within your campus community and the school. So it allows you to connect more with those student athlete leaders. I know on a previous episode, we talked about, end of year reviews. And one of the things that I really liked that Paul Jones had talked about was end of season surveys to the student athletes. I think that that's a great way of getting some feedback because it allows them the ability to remain anonymous, provide their feedback. You can look through it and see if there's common threads there. I also believe a big way that you can have great lines of communication with your student athletes is be present. And it's difficult to do because the job is really not a 9-to-5 by any means. I mean, it is much more than that. You're being pulled in so many different directions, but I highly encourage anybody, if you ever have the time, to just drop by a practice for 20 minutes. If you're able to go and stay for a contest, stay for a contest. I know that we all have the supervisory roles and things that we have to do on game day, so it's not always easy to be fully engaged there. But if you can do some just drop-ins, you know, sporadically where they see your presence, they know that you're invested. They know that they can then trust you. And then that open door policy piece kind of plays a factor too, where, hey, if you guys ever have concerns, my door's open. You know, let's have a chat. So those are kind of the ways that I liked and saw some success with. What about you?
I mean, it's all about the relationships, kind of like you said. I love the captain's councils. I didn't do a great job of that. There was a couple of years I did a better job than others, but I had a bunch of colleagues that really, really put a lot into things like captain's councils, and I think that they reap the benefits of that. So yeah, having those groups out there, I love the idea of surveys too, anonymous kind of feedback. I also like having like that core group of your people or your kids or your student athletes like that you can go to or that feel really comfortable coming to you, that like they can give you some inside information on some things and feel, obviously, as long as it's not something that's dangerous, right, to somebody else where you would have to report it, but would feel comfortable talking to you about some of the things even outside of that student council, or I'm sorry, that captain's council piece, that becomes important, like that you have your people as well. And like you said, being present is critically important. And then I guess the last thing I would just say is, I think I believe this for all kinds of committees or councils. Like, if you're going to ask people to have input, you have to find ways to make sure that it happens. Like, it's not going to be everything is a yes, right? But if you have people spend their time to give you feedback and things like that, if they never see any of it happen, it's not going to last very long.
No,
So
I
they've
think
got
that's
to
a great point.
understand that, you know, that you're listening and that you're also implementing, knowing that it's not going to be everything.
No, I think that's a critical element to it, right? If you're going to have those types of committees and councils, you've got to not only hear them, but when it's permitted, you've got to act on things too. And a great point you're saying, like, you're not going to be a yes AD where it's like, oh, okay, yeah, no, we're going to do that. No, we're going to do that. Because then you're never going to follow through on anything and they're not going to bring you anything. But at the same token, if you're just sitting there and listening to them and everything's just like, oh yeah, definitely hear you, and nothing happens, no, that's a very solid point on that front. Let's take a look at another common challenge that I'm sure you and I have both faced in terms of just communicating with student athletes. What type of challenges did you see having open lines of communication with student athletes? You know, where were some areas where you felt there was a disconnect, or you didn't feel like there was as strong a lines of communications between the athletic director's office and the student athletes, and how did you overcome that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think one of the challenges now is meeting kids in like the where they hear things and where they see things. 'Cause like, I don't know, TikTok, Snap, like we're not necessarily equipped to communicate in a way like that. And so you've got to figure out how to do it outside of maybe some of those things, like understanding, guess what? Kids don't really read their email. Like, it's just the truth. So if I'm going to say, but I emailed you last week about this and have some expectation that they were supposed to read their email, I don't necessarily know that's true. So that's where I think it's hard because you're like, you have to speak their language. I mean, I've got two kids and I try and learn words like Riz and stuff like that, but I don't know all their language and I'm getting older. So, I mean, listen, the truth is it can be hard. But it's that same thing, like be proactive, be honest, figure out the right times. A challenge would be, when do I speak to a kid? Like, kids acting up in the stands. Am I pulling them out? Am I embarrassing them in front of their friends? Am I making an example? There's probably times for all that, by the way. But like, when? Or I have to communicate with a kid. I only have so much time in my day, but I look up their schedule and they're in like Calc AB right now. And I'm like, I mean, maybe I could pull that kid out. I couldn't pull myself out of that class and think I'm going to be okay tomorrow. So even things as silly as that, it's like you have to be really thoughtful in the way you know, make sure you're communicating with the kids. I think having other people around, I mean, we give that advice to our coaches, right? Don't necessarily meet with kids one-on-one for lots of reasons. And I think make sure that they know you're there to listen. Try and be like on their side, give advice. And in the end, make sure that they think or realize that you're trying to have their best interest at heart or teach a lesson at the same time. But it's hard. You?
You know, I think that you brought up a great point when you're talking about like kids acting up in the stands, right? You know, are you going to play that card where you pull them out and you embarrass them in front of their friends? Like, that's going to be a sliding scale. You know, is it something where it's derogatory that they're doing, or are they, you know, posing a danger to themselves or those around them? Yeah, then you've got to certainly act on that. But there are other times where it's like, I am going to find time to chat with them one off and, you know, meet them maybe outside of the arena, if you will, or something, and not have it to where they're being singled out in front of their peers. I think that's a good point. The email thing, that was something that really kind of it blew my mind when I started having student athletes saying, like, I don't read my email. I had one, and I remember this is some years ago, and we had sent out some communication, and they had to get some forms completed for their parents. And I said to them, like, well, this was emailed to you like three separate times. Oh, I don't even know I don't think I have a password. I'm like, you have an account? Like, they don't, I'm not sure where to check that. It blew my mind. But to your point, like, yeah, you've got to find ways outside of what you and I would deem like normal communication lines, right? Like, it can't be email all the time. And I think that's where, you know, having the ability to do those captain's corners is great, because then, you know, the leaders are seeing you there and they're having those communication pieces. But the presence of being at practices or games makes it a little bit easier, because they're not going to be as wound up around you, because they've seen you around, they've probably interacted with you. But yeah, it's certainly not going to be the same as the way that you're going to be talking with your coaches, that's for sure.
Nah, tough. But again, the more you think about it, the more you're intentional, I think the better chance you have of being successful. All right, let's shift. That was student athletes. We talked a bunch about like parents and community. Now let's talk about coaches and just kind of talk about ensuring that they are aligned with the beliefs of the athletic department, the goals, the messaging. Like, it's so important to have everybody that's working with you on the same page. How do you feel like you can make that happen?
You know, I think ensuring that they're aligned with the athletic department goals and messaging, one way, obviously, you've got your preseason meetings where it's you and the coaching staff, right? Where you're establishing the goals and expectations for the year. That's important. We always held monthly meetings, you know, for everyone, every single sport program on campus, where we'd provide updates, you know, whether it was to certain projects that were taking place, events that were coming up, you know, important dates, reminders, things like that. We would always have a monthly meeting where we sat down and discussed all the things, but then also it was a time for us to kind of like ensure that everybody was realigning themselves in terms of our vision, our goals, and what we're expecting for the year. You didn't belabor the point, but you made sure that you were tying it in into the messaging that you were having that day. So they were constantly being exposed to what goals, expectations, you know, overall department messaging should be. I also think that it's important to, it doesn't necessarily have to be like a standing meeting, but you need to have regular touch points with your coaches. You know, you need to be able to catch up with them, whether that's, you know, quickly in passing and seeing how they're doing. Or if it's a newer coach, I was all for trying to find some time for like one-on-ones where we could catch up and walk through any type of problems they may be having. If need be, maybe find them like a mentor coach. So it's coming from another voice rather than just an athletic director, but having those regular touch points and ensuring that you are able to connect with them and communicate. I was a big fan, you know, like with my coaches, a lot of times it would be either a phone call or just a couple text messages back and forth. How are things going? You know, what do you need from me? How can we assist? And then making sure that they had that trust there that they could come and talk with you. But you really have to make sure that you're constantly having some type of regular touch point, because if things do start going sideways, that's an opportunity for you to help them realign towards the goals and ensuring that they're meeting the department standards. So how about yourself?
All right. Let me go off topic. Well, it's not off topic, but throw this one out because I'm getting a smile on your face in a second here. It's going to be food. Like, how do you want to communicate with coaches? Make sure you have food at all the meetings, correct? And now here's the million-dollar question. Like, I was in charge of phys ed and health, and then you start saying to yourself, well, should I have fruit salad and, like, yogurt and granola at the meetings? Or am I going to have, like, pizza and stuff that wasn't as good for you? I mean, truth, right? Like, you actually have to maybe think about those things. So food is always a great way to make sure people come to meetings. I'll say that, at least the formal ones. And I did fight with myself sometimes on what I should have there. But in the end, I think like everything you said, it's that over communication with them too. But the best way to do it is more on that daily basis. And I see more and more, and I don't like love this, like I see more and more athletic director offices like being removed from, let's say, the athletic area, or being up in the main office, or not as, let's say, open and inviting of an environment. And I saw that in my own job. Like the water cooler effect was kind of gone. When I first started, Greg, you'll laugh at this too. I walked into my office the first day when I got the job. The coaches' lockers were in the back of my office. Like it was a like half office, half locker room. And I'm like, wait, what? I got rid of that pretty quickly. I wanted them to have their own space. But what I did do is I changed my desk to the back, but I put like in the front a big table where people could come in and eat, do their work, like on their prep, sit down and relax. And I found that I had better conversations than at any other time, because it was just, oh, by the way, they're just in your office. It's not planned. It's, oh, I forgot to tell you this, or I wanted to tell you this, or, oh, I have to ask you this question. Like that unplanned communication, that water cooler time, I think the most valuable. And so if you're an AD that doesn't have that set up, gosh, if you could do one thing, I would work towards that as much as possible.
Absolutely. I mean, I think like we were fortunate in the sense that we had, let's call it office space for our coaches in the athletic building. And we had like more of an open concept, right? Where it was like desks and there was a lounge area where we could sit and watch, you know, like if the World Cup's going on or in March Madness every year, coaches are just hanging out up there, you know, and you have the opportunity. And it wasn't only just coaches. Sometimes it would be great too. Like if student athletes had some off periods, they wanted to come by and, you know, catch a game or something like that. There was the ability to do that, which to your point, I mean, that water cooler effect is huge because then you're having a conversation and it's not like formal and regimented and, you know, people feeling like they have to be on guard because like, oh, I'm sitting down with the AD. I better make sure I bring my A game. It's conversational. You know, I really like that point a lot. I think
throw a Keurig. Maybe it's not environmentally friendly. I'll say like throw a coffee machine or something like in there that people just want to stop in and grab a cup of coffee. Keep it hot, keep it fresh. Like it's not a huge undertaking, but again, if they just show up there for a little bit, I think it's a win.
That's awesome. No, I think that's a really good point to bring home. All right. So one of the things we always talk about is we talk about our experiences. We talk about current themes and, you know, things that people are experiencing in the athletic director world right now, but it's ever evolving. So with these evolving landscape of both education and athletics, do you foresee or anticipate changes for ADs in terms of communication in the coming years?
Death, taxes, and an evolving AD landscape are three of the guaranteed things I could tell you for sure, right? Like, I mean, yeah. And they you joke around now, like, you know, your kids are getting educated now for a job that doesn't even exist right now out there. And it's kind of that same mindset. I don't know if I would have any magic bullet for trying to stay on top of the best tools to communicate, except to say it's important to communicate. It's important to meet people where they are. Like I said, whether it's sending a letter home with a stamp on it for a certain group of people, or whether it's finding a way to have fake Snapchat, like you know, like it's got to be a way that you can actually communicate with kids and everybody where they are. And that's going to change. And I'm 100% sure of that. And I mean, listen, going to these AD shows, we had an episode on that. Even going to those AD shows and going to the vendor areas and like seeing what's out there, having a great open line of communication with your colleagues to see what they're doing. Hey, like, listen, I was 31 when I started. I promise you I'm not now. And like, I probably was more in tune at 31. And there's those guys and girls coming in now that are 31 that maybe you can teach them some things about with your experience, but I guarantee you that they could probably teach you a little bit too about things that are a little closer to the student athletes in their age.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and like to the evolving point, right? I mean, think back some years back and would you have ever thought that you would have like a video call with one of your coaches at some point, you know, just because schedules don't permit for us to sit down, like, hey, let's catch up on a quick Zoom. Or you look at all the various things in terms of just software development and being able to communicate across multiple platforms and all of those. Years ago, that wasn't any part of it. Social media, for sure, that was never there, and you weren't thinking about having to communicate or monitor what's going on there. So it is ever evolving. And the interesting thing will be to see what the next evolution within the job is going to be. Because as an AD, I think one of the things that really resonated with me as you were talking about this, Scott, is you've got to continue to evolve with what technology is evolving around you. Because if you don't, you're not going to be able to stay in tune with your coaches for one, but more definitely with your student athletes. So you have to make sure that you're staying on top of that. So
like lifelong learners, right? We want to encourage our kids to be lifelong learners. And so I think that falls on us as ADs too. We've got to continually get better and learn new things.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's going to wrap up this episode. Really appreciate everyone who tuned in, and hopefully this gives you a little bit of a guide of how to approach the upcoming fall season, which it's still kind of hard for me to believe, Scott, that we are already about to start fall in your cases and then already underway in my geographic realm, if you will. Hard to believe that we're already to the 24-25 school year, isn't it?
Yeah, man. It's August 26th here as we record this. I know like a bunch of New Jersey week zero is this coming weekend here. Again, you guys will be in like your second or third game, but have a great school year. Be positive, be proactive, and hit us up if you have any individual questions too. Like we're happy to try and help any way we can.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate it as always, Scott. It's always great jumping on here with you and chatting through some of these questions and giving our perspective. As always, if you liked what you heard today, stay tuned for future episodes. Make sure you follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from so you don't miss new episodes. So in closing, from AD360, I'm Greg Vandermeid.
Scott Rosenberg.
Until next time, folks.